Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of WikiCuriosity Media or its affiliates. WikiCuriosity Media, changing the world you listen to. Any music featured on WikiCuriosity Media programs is used with the express written consent of the artist, owner, or distributor. Coming to you live from the WikiCuriosity Studios in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another exciting episode of The Cinephiles. I'm Dan.
I am Alex.
And if you would like to join us, you can call in 718-664-9735. Again, 718-664-9735. That brings you directly into the studio with us, or you can hit us up on the live stream, Facebook live stream, at Behind the Screen Radio Show. You can also check us out on WikiCuriosity Media's Facebook page. Just go over to their page and check it out. We have some pictures up on the WCM Facebook page from this weekend, this past weekend, from our CreepyCon experience. So go check those out. And also hit up our website, www.wikicuriosity.wixsite.com/WCMedia. That is currently in the process of being updated, finally. I finally got some material to update it with. So we are in the process of updating the website. You can also head on over to YouTube, our YouTube channel, WikiCuriosity Media, and check out some videos and, you know, just some stuff like that. There's not a whole lot of content on there. Excuse me. Although we will be updating it, hopefully here shortly. We've got a lot of content that we need to bring up onto the page. So a lot of updates we need to do. You can also click the Blog Talk link on the Facebook page or go to blogtalkradio.com/WikiCuriosity to access all of our archived shows from the very, very beginning. You can also download us on iTunes at WikiCuriosity Media. So, all right, it is Wednesday, and it is the middle of the week.
A fun middle of the week.
Yep. Sorry, I am currently trying to get our Facebook Live up onto the... There we go. All right, now I can see everything. Now I've got everything up. Okay. All right, it is Wednesday. As I said, not a whole lot has gone on this week other than CreepyCon. I'll tell you what, we had an absolute blast at CreepyCon. Check out the pictures and stuff like that. Our friends Contraband Games was there. If you don't know who they are, you need to check their Facebook page out. They have created, I want to say, two or three different types of tabletop games. Similar to D&D, but with less dice and a little less complicated. It's actually a lot of fun. We played it in 2019. That's where we met them, at the 2019 CreepyCon. And then we did the Extra Life event in 2019. And then, of course, COVID hit and everything went to shit. Everything got put on hold. But they are back in full swing. They have three or four games that they are going to be releasing within the next, I want to say the next few months. They're going to be releasing them all together, and they're in the process of doing a fifth one. I think I've got those numbers right. But yeah, and they will be doing an Extra Life event this year. And we will be participating in that event as well. I don't have the information in front of me. We will get that information to you. We will be posting it on Wicked Curiosity Media so that you can check it out and participate if you so desire. Because we will be there. And they'll be running two or three separate tables, different games that they have up. They'll be, you know, showcasing their games and stuff like that. It's a lot of fun. Last year we did it. It was 6 hours last year. We sat there, and to be honest, it did not feel like a six-hour session. The only time that we took a break was to either use the bathroom or I think we had two breaks in there where we could get up and walk around and, you know, go out and stuff like that. But it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. And Hack's Horror Show was there. We've mentioned him on the air before. He is a horror variety show. He showcases new music. It's not mainstream. Short movies that aren't mainstream and stuff like that. It's an interesting show. It's a pretty good show. You can go check it out on Roku, Vimeo, go check out his Facebook page. Yeah, we met up with him, and we're actually hoping to do a little bit of collaboration with him here shortly. So yeah, it was a fun time. If you've never been to a CreepyCon, you need to go. I don't know if they have them anywhere else, but this is an annual event here in Knoxville. We've gone, we went 2018, 2019, and then this year. It was a little different this year because we had face masks and stuff like that. So, it was a blast. It really, really was. The MC, Duke of Spook himself, Chris Bell, was there, who was the MC for the entire weekend. So it was fun. We really, really had a blast. So.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. So like I said, the pictures have been uploaded to Wiki Curiosity Media. The ones that we took, we were so involved in everything that was going on, we didn't get a whole lot of pictures. And then there's a couple pictures of the after party game night on Saturday night. Don't mind me. I look a little goofy in those pictures, probably because I was a little tipsy. So.
A little bit
more than I normally am. It was a fun time. It really was a fun time. We had a blast. We love going to CreepyCon. And I'm so glad we went this year.
Good.
So
maybe I can make it down there one of these years.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We'd love to have you go. It's a Halloween and horror convention, and they have some of the coolest shit. And there was one, and you can see it in the picture of me and the guy in glasses. There's one booth that had just a ton of Star Wars stuff. I know it's not really a horror or Halloween, but that's what they do. They come out and, you know, show off their, you know, sell stuff at these conventions. Like that. A lot of Black Series figures. They had some original Star Wars toys that were way out of my price range. Then they had some from the Vintage Collection. And then they sell a bunch of Lego minifigures and stuff like that. So it was a fun time. So you would have had a blast, Alex. I wish you would have been able to come down for it, even just for the weekend, because I think you would have really, really enjoyed it. I honestly do. So it was a blast. I loved it.
Cool.
So, but other than that, nothing really important this weekend or this week that has gone on. So I don't know if you've had anything interesting going on this week at all.
I was dog sitting this weekend. That's what I did.
Well, that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, sure. Sat down with some dogs all weekend. It's fun. You know, it's not hard, but you know, they're silly dogs. Yeah, you know, I've dog sat for them before. So the dogs, they know me and they know when I come around. They get real excited. So, yeah, they're good dogs. I like them.
Well, that's good. That's good. I'm glad.
Yeah, there was an instance, the neighbors across the street, so the dogs that I dog sit for, they have an invisible fence, like shock collars and stuff.
Yeah.
And sometimes that doesn't work. so the neighbors across the street have two pit bulls.
No.
And I don't think they're on anything. I think they're just out and open and go do their business and whatnot. But they were telling me like, oh yeah, the one, he's a bit aggressive, and then the other one, he's younger and he's gonna, you know, blah, 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 blah. I was like, okay. And, you know, I didn't have any problems with it all weekend until the last night I was there. I let the dogs out, and the two pit bulls are black. Like, they got black fur and stuff, and I couldn't see. Usually I look outside, okay, it's clear, go outside, and, you know, have fun.
Right.
So I looked outside, and I didn't have my glasses on. I didn't see nothing. So I open up the door a little bit, and I hear something, but I'm like, oh, it's fine. And I open up the door, and I let the dogs out. And then I go back and get my glasses on because, you know, I'm just checking it out. And I see two pit bulls standing between the two cars. And I was like, oh, shit. And it was like 11:30 at night. And I was trying to get the dogs back inside because they're loud when they bark. So I was like, come on, get inside. Let's go. Let's go inside. Like, I'm trying to shove them inside. Like, come on, let's go. I don't want to fight in the middle of the street at 11:30. Me versus four dogs, it's not happening. Let's go. I'm not doing this. We're not having problems.
No, it's probably not a good idea.
If your owners come back and see that you guys got tore up because you were being loud and obnoxious with these two pit bulls, I'm going to hear it. So, you know, they listen and they were like, okay, we'll go back inside.
Well, that's good. That's good that you avoided the drama of dogs.
Yeah, that would have sucked.
So,
you know, I like dogs, but getting attacked by dogs is a totally different story.
Yeah.
Dogs are cool until they're mean to you, but luckily I haven't had a dog that's been mean to me. I don't know. I've never been aggressively attacked by a dog before, which
it's
is good.
Probably, that's a good thing. That's definitely a good thing. I don't think I've I've had a dog chase after me, but I think it was on a, I don't remember if it was on a lead or had like a shock collar or something, but it stopped, but I mean, it was coming, so.
Yeah, see, most people, when they see a dog out, they're like, oh, let's go pet it. It's a nice dog. No. See, I'm not going to be an asshole and be like, oh, yeah, F that dog. That dog's nothing. It's just out in the streets, stray dog. I'm going to feel bad for it, but I'm not going to go up to it because, you know, it doesn't care about me. So, you know.
Yeah.
I like to observe from a distance to see what the dog does. And if the dog needs actual help, then, you know, I'm on it.
Right.
Right. Speaking of dogs, my dogs are bulldogs, and we had some crazy thunderstorms last night, and my one dog, Louie, hates them, absolutely hates them. He stays up all night when they're gone, and they were storming all night, so we gave him a little sedative, you know, just to help him go to sleep. He threw it up in the middle of the night, but it was still in his system. It was like 12:30, and I heard ruckus downstairs, so I went downstairs, and I see my mom half asleep, and my dog basically asleep, just shuffling down the hallway. I'm like, what the hell happened? And she goes, yeah, he threw up. And so I'm trying to help him, you know, get his weight, because he, you know, Bambi, he was on the ice, and he was sprawled out and, like, couldn't catch his balance or nothing. That's what my bulldog was doing. And they have amazing balance, because, you know, they're short and low to the ground, but he kept just sprawling out and, like, basically falling asleep. So I was holding up by his chest and walking him to the food bowl so he can get something in his system. It was just the funniest thing because he kept doing it while he was eating. He kept falling down. And it was the funniest shit I have ever seen that dog do. And he's done some funny stuff. But to see him just bloop and then catch himself real quick, man, eat and then go to bed. Go back to bed. You're drunk. Go home.
I've had nights like that. I've had nights like that. Not gonna lie, I feel his pain. I definitely feel his pain.
He's something else. It's like he was melting almost, just bleh. And he came back real solid, and then bleh. So it's nice. I picked him up and carried him to bed because I was no way. That would have took an hour for him to get back to the bedroom. So I said, you know what, come here. And I picked him up, and he fell asleep while I was carrying him. So when I put him on the bed, he really just flattened out and laid down. And I was like, you little shit. That's terrible.
Oh, God. So
that was my week. It was very eventful, filled with animals and dogs.
ours was just creepy con and then recovery. Yeah. Not from alcohol. I have found out recently that not 100% because I'm older, but because of the diet that I maintain, that junk food and fast food does not agree with me if I do it for multiple days.
Yeah, no, fast food doesn't agree with me ever, unless it's like Chick-fil-A or a restaurant up here called Culver's. It's basically Chick-fil-A, but it's open on Sundays. Yeah, fast food and me, we don't get along.
No. I do not get along with fast food. And Friday night, because it was a late night, we grabbed Arby's on the way home because we didn't get home until almost 11 o'clock that night because the convention went till 10 o'clock. Because it started at 6 and went to 10. The first night, it's only a couple hours. So we had Arby's. Saturday night, we stayed until I want to say 5 o'clock. So that's when it shut down. 5 or 6, something like that. And we came back and had pizza and alcohol.
It's a good mixture.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a typical Saturday night, typical Friday, Saturday night at the house.
Yeah.
And then Sunday, we, because of the crap that we had been eating, and we really didn't eat at the convention because I'm not going to pay $8 for a concession stand hamburger. I'm sorry. I'm not. We did it once, and that was it. That was Saturday because we were there all day. And Sunday, we had the kids with us. And so we came back, and we ate sandwiches. And I had to work Monday night. Luckily, I didn't go in until later on in the afternoon, but yeah, didn't agree with me. Didn't agree with me at all. I definitely paid for it Monday, Tuesday, and just getting over it tonight, today. So, which is, yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's been, you know, I was down there for the entire month in July, and it was hot as hell. I'm like, okay, when I go back home, it'll be like 75 degrees, because, you know, I live in the northern part of the United States, and, you know, should be okay. No, definitely not. It has not dropped below 80 degrees since I've been home. And every day this week, it's been 90 degrees. It's awful. I hate it. The heat sucks. I have figured out in my life that I prefer colder weather. It's just terrible.
No. I've always been the opposite. I absolutely hate the cold. I don't mind the heat. It doesn't bother me. To a point, I mean, you know, I don't like to go out and step outside right after I've had a shower and sweat, you know, profusely. But I would rather do that than have my hair freeze as soon as I stepped outside.
But yeah, I mean, I don't like the cold weather, like 60, not 60. I don't even know why I said 60. I was thinking 30, and then an S slipped in there. 30 degrees and colder is terrible, but I can do about 35, 40 to about 75 all year round. That would be just fantastic. But as soon as my skin starts getting dry and chapped is when it irritates me. I like a nice humid, cool weather, but when it gets dry and cold, that's when it's terrible. Dry and cold is almost as bad or if not worse than hot and humid. The hot and humid just sucks the air out of you. It's terrible.
Hot and humid is, I will give you that. Hot and humid is awesome.
I salute you guys down there in the South when it's, you know, 80 degrees. And, yeah, it's like, oh, it's only 80 degrees. And you step outside and you look like you swam in a pool with all your clothes on.
We've had a few of those days. I will say the best time for weather here in the southern part of the, you know, country is fall. Simply because you have the crisp air. And we normally don't get fall until about October, November time frame. Like it's hot August and September. We keep our pool open until pretty much right at the end of September. Like October, November time frame where it's cool enough you can wear like a sweatshirt And you've got the breeze blowing, and you've got that nice crisp fall air. That is the perfect time here down in the south this fall. It absolutely is. I love it. I love it down here in the fall.
Yeah. Fall's nice up here, but it lasts like 2 months, if that. We get like a week of fall, and then it's winter time.
Yeah, we don't get a whole lot of winter. Our fall will last pretty much all of October and November, right through until December. About the middle to the end of December is when it starts getting chilly, and then we normally don't get snow until January. Although last year, it snowed on Christmas Day. It snowed Christmas Eve, and we had a white Christmas last year.
Yeah, that was cool.
So, yeah. It was cool right up until the point where we had to go push the glasses out of the bottom of the cul-de-sac.
Yeah. You see? You know, I'm not even going to bring it up. That's an argument for a different day.
Okay. Does that have to do with the guy in glasses?
All I'm going to say is my car wouldn't have got stuck.
My car wouldn't have gotten stuck.
I'm all-wheel drive at about 400 pounds. It probably more lighter.
I'm front-wheel drive, so... And you know, probably, you know, about 100 pounds lighter than your car. But either way, even if I was in a truck, I would not have slowed down the way he did. Because that's what's cool.
Yeah, your truck is all cool and all until it gets stuck in the cul-de-sac. And then you have to have everybody in the damn neighborhood bring cat litter out to get you out.
You know? In their Christmas pajamas.
That's all I'm going to say. I think I've won that one.
I'm right on board with you on that one, 100%. All right. So we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll jump right into the show. So if I can get my computer to work, we'll be back.
Behind the screen, we'll be right back.
Two minute plans and schemes. Two minute
welcome back to Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Yes, welcome back to the Cinephiles. So there was something that happened, two things, actually, that happened this week that we didn't mention before the break, obviously, but I wanted to talk about on the actual show. So the first one is the one that everybody's talking about, the one that's all over everywhere, is the new Spider-Man trailer.
Yes.
Just dropped.
Yes.
So
I have been a stickler of this movie 2 months now. And not going to lie, I'll admit it. I ate some of my words. I was wrong. But I was mostly right about the speculations about this movie. You see, before we talk about the trailer, people were leaking this and leaking that, and, oh, this got out there, and, oh, what, this is now this. And I am tired of it, of the people saying something's leaked and then it being just totally wrong. I know that's always going to happen, like, don't believe everything you see on the internet sort of thing. But it's already happening with the trailer. The trailer's been out for, like, what, a day? 2 days? And
it's
people are already putting
stuff
out in the trailer that is just totally wrong. And, like, they're getting way ahead. And this kind of goes into what our show is about.
Yeah.
But they just get way ahead of themselves. And it's so annoying. That's, like, my biggest pet peeve right now is people just getting way too far ahead of themselves with these theories and expectations and what they think is going to happen. But, anyway, now that my little tangent is over, the trailer looked freaking awesome and was just outstanding. The movie looks great. I want to know how they deal with certain things in the movie, but at the same time, I think this just might be Tom Holland's best Spider-Man movie. And it's going to be interesting. It's going to be exciting. You know, it should turn out pretty well. My favorite part was all of it, mainly. But, yeah.
So, I watched the trailer. And we all know that it's, even before the trailer came out, we knew that it was going to link to the multiverse somehow, mainly because of Doctor Strange's movie coming out and everything that's going on in Marvel's TV shows right now.
Yeah.
This was a far different trailer than what I expected. A whole totally different plot than what I was expecting out of this movie. Like, I did not expect, and I'll say that here in a minute. I did not expect Doctor Strange to play such a huge,
pivotal role.
A huge pivotal role in this movie. And that's kind of one thing that I'm a little disappointed in. I'll be honest.
Yeah, it seems like with Tom Holland, Spider-Man, he can't get a movie to himself. In the first one, Spider-Man Homecoming, it was Spider-Man and Iron Man. It was them two. Spider-Man Far From Home, Spider-Man, I don't know what's his name is the villain, but at the same time, Spider-Man didn't get to thrive the way Spider-Man does. Spider-Man is a solo superhero. He doesn't work with, he works with S.H.I.E.L.D. and he's an Avenger and whatnot, But the way I see Spider-Man is the same way I see Batman. Batman protects Gotham City. He fights with the Justice League here and there, and then he comes right back to Gotham City, and he fights for Gotham City. Spider-Man is the same way with New York. Spider-Man fights in New York. He does certain things. He doesn't go off to freaking Europe with Nick Fury on a school trip just because.
Yeah. It's these... So while the Spider-Man movies with Tom Holland have been absolutely fantastic, I mean, everything about him has been great. There's been, you know, Tom Holland is...
It's generally because of Tom Holland, though.
You have to admit, CGI is great in these movies.
Yeah, no. I was meaning, like, Tom Holland and his... acting with Peter Parker, his mannerisms as Spider-Man, his fighting style as Spider-Man. The CGI is, like, all that is great and whatnot, but I don't think these movies would have been, I don't think the past two movies would have been as good if they had chose a different actor.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Tom Holland
Tom Holland, in other movies, he thrives amazingly by himself. Like, that movie, Devil All the Time, he did amazing by himself.
Yeah, he's
I don't know why
really
they
gave
him a bigger... that's going to sound silly because of what happens in the trailer, but I don't know why they don't give him a bigger role in it all. Like, in the trailer, Doctor Strange sets everything off. Doctor Strange is the one having to fix everything. Spider-Man is just the one that kind of asked him to do it, you know? I know Spider-Man don't got mystical powers and whatnot, but still, they solved that in Spider-Verse.
Yeah. It's just, it's odd because this feels like, from the trailer, it feels like a Doctor Strange movie with Spider-Man, not Spider-Man with Doctor Strange, or
they honestly
Spider-Man
should've
by
just,
himself.
Instead of calling it Spider-Man No Way Home, it should have been a buddy cop movie, Doctor Strange and Spider-Man. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. That would have been... That would have made more sense. That would have been cool. But, you know, I guess it's a Spider-Man movie. They could have taken the... Doctor Strange 2 and Spider-Man could have morphed them and made it a 4-hour movie.
Yeah. Or did what they did with Infinity War and Endgame. And make it a two-parter leading up into, you know, what's going to happen in Phase 4 and, you know, everything like that. It's mildly disappointing that, like you said, Spider-Man can't have a movie, at least the Tom Holland Spider-Man, can't have a movie by himself. He has to be integrated into the MCU. And I get that... You know, it's all one universe, and it's all put together, and, you know, they have to have, you know, some of these characters in there, but make them as...
Make them the background character, instead of being the people who solve Spider-Man's problems.
Yeah. The first Spider-Man wasn't bad, because while Tony Stark... played a role, he wasn't a
he had
huge,
like 5 minutes.
Yeah, he wasn't a huge influencer in he's a huge influencer, but he wasn't a big part of the movie.
Yeah, I mean, every 5 minutes Peter was like, oh, Mr. Stark's gonna kill me. But it's not like Tony Stark was on screen for the whole movie. Unlike Far From Home, when you had Nick Fury, Mysterio, freaking
Happy Hogan.
Happy, the monsters that they were fighting.
Yeah. And, you know, it's fine because he was fighting Mysterio, but it should have just been him against Mysterio and leave out Nick Fury. And I get that they're leading up to the whole, you know, Nick Fury right now is a Kree. No, he's a Skrull.
Skrull,
yeah. I don't know why I got those mixed up. you know, that he's the Skrull and stuff like that, but I don't know. It's just...
I got a lot of gripes about Far From Home that we could take a whole show to talk about, but...
Yeah. I'm excited for the movie. I really am. This trailer lit a fire up under my ass again for Marvel. I know that it's Marvel and Sony put together, but
Sony
really...
has... Did you see Sony rename their thing for Spider-Man?
I think I did.
Or their branch of Marvel. It's called the Spider-Man... Sony Spider-Man Universe.
Yeah.
That's
with Morbius and Venom.
So that... People are saying that confirms the multiverse and whatnot. And I know they're making the multiverse, but I'm hesitant that it's going to be the same characters and stuff. Like, for example, in the trailer, we saw Doc Ock.
Yeah.
That was the same actor from 2004.
Yeah, So
just because it's the same actor doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be the same character.
Right.
I know that sounds silly for me to say, but they've done it before.
So
it's been done before, I should say.
What they could be doing is, so we know that Loki has basically destroyed the Prime timeline. And
yeah, I don't think that's going to tie into the movie as much.
I think it's going to play in later on down in some of the
I think it'll be like a after credit scene sort of thing, but for Spider-Man, I don't think it'll be a big thing, because the thing that messes with the multiverse is when Spider-Man's like, hey, I want nobody to know I'm Spider-Man. And he's like, okay. Like in the trailer.
Yeah.
That's what kicks off the multiverse. See, there's two things that kick off the multiverse. That and the Loki thing. Three, if you want to count WandaVision.
Yeah. I think they may all come together in the Doctor Strange movie. But going back Alfred Molina as Doc Ock.
He lost some weight. That's the first thing I noticed.
Yeah.
He looks skinny as hell.
He looks good for his age, though.
Oh, but yeah.
It's, like you said, it may not necessarily link to the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man universe. It might be another, you know, like we were seeing in the Loki show, maybe another variant. We don't know, because we haven't gotten a Dr. Octopus in this Marvel universe yet, so we don't know who this one is, and we've already established a multiverse in not only the TV shows, but, and I know it's not 100% part of the MCU, but if you look at the movies Into the Spider-Verse, that's just a whole other different universe, and that establishes that there is a multiverse within the Marvel universe. And when we go back and look at some of the older comics, and the biggest one was the 90s Spider-Man cartoon. I don't know if you remember any of that.
I've watched some of it, yeah.
Okay. That was like one of my favorite cartoons when I was a younger adult. In that cartoon, Spider-Man comes in contact with Madame Web, who is the overseer, basically, of the Spider-Verse. And she shows him different types of Spider-Man and She takes him to our Earth with Stan Lee and stuff. And Sony actually has a movie, Madam Web, that's in the works as well, that they are wanting to do. So we know, as Marvel fans, that there is a multiverse, and that this Dr. Octopus, played by Alfred Molina, could be from any of the multiverses, any of the other universes that are out there.
Yeah. I know it makes sense for it to be the same one, but at the same time, Doc Ock died, first of all. He could have gone through a portal and whatnot.
Yeah.
But the Doc Ock he fell through a portal. He fell to his death, presumably, back in 2004. I know the two movies were made, these two movies are made multiple years apart, but you can't go from that Doc Ock that was that age and that body style and that costume to this Doc Ock that is that age, that hairstyle, that body style, just like that doesn't happen in 2 seconds. He doesn't fall through a portal and then come up looking like he does.
So there's a little bit of possible discrepancy there, simply because in the cartoon, and I mean there's so many factors here that we can play off of. In the cartoon, Mary Jane actually gets lost in this like portal thing, but she experiences the passage of time, just not the way that we experience it. And one of the ways that they could explain all of that is the same way that they used time travel in Endgame, is there's a good chance that he could have gone through the quantum realm. I think we're going to see the quantum realm pop back up.
What about the Green Goblin, though? Because that's 2004 Green Goblin, same goblin bombs and whatnot. But Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin died. He 100% died. You can't tell me that he didn't die.
Because
stabbed with his glider. And it's not, what's his name? I forgot his name.
Willem Dafoe?
No, not Willem Dafoe, his son, Harry Osborn.
Oh,
I can't think of the actor's name.
James
DeFranco. That's his last name, right?
Yeah.
God,
yeah,
what is his name?
Hold on. Yeah, James Franco.
Yeah. I don't know where I got DeFranco, but James Franco. That's not his. Because in the trailer, we hear Green Goblin laugh, and it's, you know...
Willem Dafoe.
Yeah. How do you explain that when there's also Electro from... It's presumably Jamie Foxx's Electro. But the problem with that is Jamie Foxx's Electro had blue lightning in the Amazing Spider-Man.
And this one had yellow like the original comics.
Yeah, and then the people have found that the lizard is also in the trailer. That's basically confirmed. People have turned up the resolution and whatnot and saw. There's a silhouette of the lizard. One that irritates the crap out of me is the scene where we do see Electro's lightning. People are saying when the lightning hits the ground and flies up a bunch of sand, people are saying that that's Sandman when there's no way that can be Sandman. I'm sorry, but I think that's just... some dirt that got blown up into the air.
So, do you want a little bit of a spoiler? Because I'm on the IMDb page, looking at the cast list. So, Willem Dafoe is Norman Osborn in Green Goblin. Jamie Foxx is Electro. And Alfred Molina is playing Dr. Octopus. We know that already.
Yeah, I mean, castings are castings, you know?
Alexa, stop. Sorry about that. My Alexa in the bathroom started going off. Anyway.
What was I saying? Oh, castings. I don't think when people go off of castings, it creates a lot of problems because IMDb had Tony Stark casted, or Robert Downey Jr. casted as Tony Stark for a while there for Black Widow, and we didn't see nothing, not a lick of Tony Stark or Robert Downey Jr. in that movie.
Right, and I'm not saying this is 100% correct.
Yeah,
But
as I told my friend, we were talking about the trailer, I'm not listening or thinking anything is 100% confirmed until I see the movie. And I said the same thing about the trailer, because the trailer got leaked Monday or Sunday night. It got leaked, and people were watching it and whatnot, and my friend sent me the link and, or the thing to it on Instagram. I said, man, I'm not watching this bullshit. It's either fake, or if it is real, it's you can't hardly watch it anyway. I think the trailer ended up being real, but, well, I mean, I think it is real, because then that caused a big stir up with Sony, and they released the actual trailer, but still, nothing is ever 100% confirmed. Like with toys, we've gotten a bunch of leaks from toys, and so far, some of them have been true, but one that was going around was Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man as like a kids toy figurine in the same line as other ones, but it was a fake. It was clear as day a fake. There's a long-ass description describing basically the movie. They spelled villain wrong. there's another misspelling, and then the French translation that was on it, which why would you put a French translation? Usually it's Spanish. It didn't translate to what it was. Like 100%. So, whatever you see, I wouldn't believe until you see the movie. And then you're going to have that dumb moment where it's like, oh, yeah, it was real. But at least you have it in your mind that, oh, I didn't get it spoiled because I didn't think it was real.
Right. You know? So this movie actually is the end of Tom Holland's contract with Sony and Marvel.
Yeah, I think they'll re-sign him, though. I think he'll come back for some more Spider-Man movies. He's said multiple times that he loves playing Spider-Man. He just, I think he'll come back. In the MCU, maybe not. But in further movies, probably. And Sony,
We might see him in like, Madame Web and some of the other Sony Spider-Man universe movies that they want to put out. So, I mean, it's a good possibility that, he may come back.
Yeah. I hope he does. He's a good Spider-Man. I don't think we've got to see enough of him because he's been overshadowed in all the movies he's been in.
Yeah. I mean, he stole the scene in every movie that he was in, in every scene that he was in, but it's still, we need Spider-Man in his element. We need Tom Holland Spider-Man in his element.
Like we need Spider-Man, not Spider-Man and this guy, and Spider-Man and that guy, or Spider-Man and this person.
Yeah.
We need Spider-Man.
Right. Okay. So the next trailer.
Yep.
That was just recently released. It was the new Eternals trailer.
I'm pretty excited for this movie now. Before, not too much. This trailer made me kind of excited for it. I will say, though, it just looks like Justice League, but cosmic people. That's what all I see is just cosmic Justice League.
Yes. So
it fits the bill too. You got Superman, you got Wonder Woman, there's even a Speedster in there. You got Black Knight, who is basically going to be a Batman. So it's whatever.
So when the first trailer came out, to me, I was bored. I was bored of the trailer. I'm sorry. This trailer had a lot more in it, but I'm more excited for the movie because I want to see where this is going, because there's a lot of the Celestials in it and stuff like that. This expands the Marvel Universe well beyond what we have seen in Phases 1 through 3. We got a little taste in Guardians of the Galaxy and kind of a taste in the Infinity War and Endgame, but we really, really haven't touched on the more expansive Marvel Universe other than just humans. And I think we need more of that. I think we need more of what is out there versus focusing on Earth. Because Phases 1 through 3 did perfect focusing on the heroes here on Earth. I would like to see Phase 4 and on up do is be more expansive. Go outside of the small little Marvel universe that we have here on Earth, because there is so much more out there.
Yeah, I think they're going to copy and paste their old formula, which would be, you know, have Earth people, Iron Man and Captain America, and then have your cosmic people, your Guardians of the Galaxy, your Thor, Captain Marvel, and they come together for a couple months or a couple days, and they go and do their own things again. That's going to get stale and old real quick, and it already has. Because, I mean, we already see the formula starting. Black Widow, Shang-Chi, they're the two Earth people.
Yeah.
And you got Spider-Man and Doctor Strange and Thor and Earth, the Eternals. Those are the cosmic people.
Yeah.
Come on, let's freshen it up just a little bit. You got all of that content that you can work with, and you're still doing the same stuff.
And that's the only thing that's bugging me about both DC and Marvel, is the fact that they have so much material to work with that they limit themselves to what people know. And the characters that people aren't real familiar with, they do a shit job on them.
Yeah.
We look at Iron Fist. Iron Fist was a horrible TV show.
Yeah, that was more Netflix, though. Like, Netflix's problem. Because those shows, they were, like, soft MCU. They weren't really MCU shows. I think there was a couple things, like one or two things that hinted towards them being MCU related, but other than that, I don't think they were MCU. I think it was Netflix Marvel.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still on the fence about Shang-Chi. Obviously, I want to see it, but unless they get a better trailer, it's not a go to the movies and watch it. Spider-Man is a go to the movies and watch it. Eternals is becoming a go to the movies and watch it type movie. Like, I'll go, but I don't have to. If that makes sense.
Yeah. I can wait on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Which leads us to the main discussion of our show tonight. Movies that were supposed to be blockbusters, but were disappointments.
Yeah.
So,
We were talking about this on text. Talking about it through the week. And I had the hardest time trying to explain. For me, I couldn't, for some reason, I could just could not explain that my the difference that I saw in the two topics that we were trying to come up with. And I think I got it. But
okay.
I don't know. So I think at least in my head, there should be a difference between hype and excitement for a movie and a movie just totally bombing. Anymore, I don't think there is a bad movie, quote unquote, anymore. The quality, unless the quality of the movie is bad, then the movie is bad. But I think what determines a good movie anymore is how hyped and excited people are for it. Spider-Man, this movie has so much hype and excitement for it, it's not even funny. And I'm not going to say it's going to under-deliver, because it's going to deliver where it needs to. But people have their expectations so high. Shocking. I've never seen so many people so excited, not even for Endgame. I've never seen people so excited for a freaking movie in my whole life. And they did it with WandaVision. People did the same exact shit with WandaVision. They hyped that show up so much. I'm not saying it was a bad show, but the way that people were talking about it and were just over the moon about it before it was released, and then when it actually released and delivered where it was supposed to, it delivered. It did what it needed to do.
It did.
But people are so disappointed in it because they didn't have 400 million Easter eggs and all this other stuff. Now, I think the only thing that was disappointing was the boner joke. I think that was just stupid. But other than that, the show was fine. But people just had their expectations set way too high, and I fear that's going to be the same thing with Spider-Man. Is people, now that they saw Doc Ock and that freaking Green Goblin bomb, their expectations are going to be set so high that, we're going to see Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield in the movie, and it's going to be a live-action Spider-Verse, when in all actuality, this is what I think is going to happen. It's going to be Spider-Man and Doctor Strange fighting Electro, Green Goblin, and Doc Ock. And those guys, it's going to be the boner joke over again. I'm just saying, they brought in Quicksilver from the X-Men universe. What's his name? Evan Peters. Brought him in. People are like, oh my God, they finally did it. They connected them. And then when the show, in the season finale, he was like, boner. All that character, all that was a children's joke. And now, I'm not saying that these three characters are going to be children's jokes. I'm just saying, just because Marvel casted somebody as a character doesn't mean it's going to be the same character. And I fear that people are going to be so disappointed, they're going to curse the Tom Holland's name into the ground and just be so mad because they got their expectations set way too high. But yeah. My expectations are right where they are. I think this movie will be solid. It'll be fun. It'll have fantastic CGI, as we saw from the trailer. And I think Marvel put their best foot forward, and this movie will deliver right where it's going to be. People are going to ruin it, though. I'm just saying.
And I think you're right.
That's what I was trying to convey. People's expectations are set so high for something, and when something delivers where it needs to be, they're like, oh, that was a bust. But with a movie like, I think you brought up Conan, their Conan remake.
Yeah.
That movie was a disappointment. People weren't excited for it. It was just a bad movie. I've never seen it. I'm assuming it was bad from the way you were talking about it, but, you know.
So, the way that I look at it, is, so we have all these movies, like you said, that get hyped up throughout the year. And, you know, they're either summer blockbusters, or for horror movies, they're, you know, Halloween blockbusters and stuff like that. And they put out the best material that they have on their trailers, and they push it so much. So much money goes into advertising these movies, putting TV clips, you know, on commercials, having them as
the bill for Endgame. The advertisement bill for Endgame, that was probably $1 billion, guarantee. The amount that they've... Oh, man, that kind of makes me mad. But anyway, you were saying?
And, you know, they put trailers before big movies, and they hype these movies up so much. And then when you watch them, they don't deliver where they're supposed to.
Yeah, I think there's kind of two, and in the modern day, there's kind of two sides to it. There's people overhyping the shit out of it, but then there's the studios that are just fueling that flame. But if people just took the time and stepped back and actually thought to themselves and kind of learned their lesson, because the way I see it, I got burned real hard on WandaVision. It kind of taints the show for me, but we all did. I don't think people quite didn't freaking learn that just because Marvel does something does not equate to this. Like, in WandaVision, they set up Fantastic Four. They set up this. They set up that. They, you know, multiverse with Evan Peters' Quicksilver. They did so many things in WandaVision that didn't pan out at all. It wasn't real. None of it was real. I'm not saying that Spider-Man will be that, but I'm saying studios tend to be doing that anymore. And I think Marvel, or not really Marvel, but Disney is getting really bad about it. Warner Bros. Is too. But golly, it's going to be a mess. I could totally eat my words 6 months from now and totally be wrong, and I will take that. But I'm just not hyping myself up for it anymore. I'm not doing it. I'm tired of the disappointment.
You were mentioning WandaVision. One of the other ones for me was Falcon and Winter Soldier. So
I didn't have high expectations for that, though. See, I learned my lesson from WandaVision. Somebody didn't.
Okay, so I actually liked WandaVision. I was a little disappointed in the Evan Peters reveal. But overall...
It was quality-wise, it was nice. It was pretty solid.
It was a good storyline. You know, you could see...
But the fact that they're not doing anything with what they had said and put in front of us, and the fact that they're not doing anything because it wasn't real, kind of pisses me off.
It does. It does. I mean, it's all just this big, elaborate, you know, it was this big, huge, elaborate.
WandaVision was just an 8-episode commercial for Doctor Strange.
Pretty much. But to me, what I got out of WandaVision was the grief that she was experiencing after Endgame.
Yeah, that
grief
was...
and the anger...
That was
and
good, but the rest of it was kind
it.
Of just, that was good. I'm not saying overall the show was bad. It was a solid show, or miniseries. But I'm saying the little things that Marvel likes to do within their universe, like, I wouldn't call them Easter eggs, but I would kind of say soft plot points. I'm trying to think of one that they did in the past, but I kind of can't right now.
But
the stuff that they had said just turned out to be little flukes.
Yeah. To me, Falcon and Winter Soldier, while it had its moments, because it did have its moments in there, and it had little things that were setting it up, that were, you know, setting up the universe for
the Earth realm, or the Earth part of the MCU.
Yeah, for future movies and for future, you know, little Easter eggs and stuff like that. Overall, because there was a lot of hype for Falcon and Winter Soldier. There was a lot of it. And to me, it was just kind of a lackluster show. It was over-politicized, which really pissed me off. And it just, the main focus was the bromance between Falcon and Winter Soldier. And then Falcon comes out with his, you know, we should all be inclusive speech at the end, which was a great speech.
It was definitely a Captain America thing to do. Like, it was definitely a, like, Steve Rogers was a Captain America for the 40s. Like, his morals and stuff can't line up with today.
Right. I mean, he changed a little bit.
I'm totally not saying Steve Rogers was racist. I'm just saying his thoughts and beliefs are kind of adolescent. Like, he was kind of a child in some points. He was smart on the battlefield, but social skills and political skills, he was not very smart. But if you take somebody like Sam, I think he's a good Captain America, but I think they kind of they took Sam's part, not Sam, Bucky's part, and kind of threw it away. They didn't really focus on, I love that show. That show was fantastic. I liked it better than WandaVision, personally, but the thing that irritated me the most about that show was a half-second clip at the end when it said that Captain America and the Winter Soldier. I thought that was the biggest bullshit in the world, because the whole point of Bucky in the show was trying to get away from the Winter Soldier. He is not the Winter Soldier anymore. He is something else. He is not the Winter Soldier. I don't know why they keep calling him that. Because in the show, he's all, I want to get away from the Winter Soldier. I'm not him anymore. And then Marvel turns around and slaps that name on him. And people are going to just keep looking at him like how he was.
Yeah.
But anyway,
They changed Falcon and let him evolve, and they tried to evolve Bucky throughout the show, and they did a good job of it. They did a better job of evolving Bucky than they did Sam.
Sam's evolution was a bit different than Bucky's, though. His evolution was more mentally based. Like, he had to get away from the Winter Soldier, because that was a part of his life that he just can't, that's a terrible part of his life. But with Sam's evolution, I think it's just, there wasn't really an evolution to be had, you know. There's nothing that was supposed to change from him being Falcon to Captain America besides a physical uniform change. You know, Sam has always been that guy. Like, Sam has, I don't want to say he was perfect from the beginning, but his character development was fine from the beginning. Now, when they make his movie, or if they make his movie, then we might see him struggling with being Captain America and whatnot, and might see him take the super soldier serum so he can compete with the rest of the world. But, you know, it's all a waiting game at this point with that sort of thing.
It was just, to me, it was kind of awkward, because Falcon was never a main character in any of the movies.
I think they took the show to take the opportunity to make him a main character, though.
And I see that.
You said, he wasn't a main character, and now that they have made him the main character, everybody else kind of had to take a back seat. But at the same time, there was other characters that needed more development, too.
Right.
But, you know,
and they had to put him in the forefront for him to become the next Captain America, because that's what happens in the, you know, in the comic book storyline, the comic book universe.
Yeah.
He ends up getting the shield and becomes Captain America and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
But it also kind of degraded Captain America to a point, because when we see Captain America with that shield, it's phenomenal. You know, the way that he handles that shield. And then all of a sudden, here comes Johnny Walker and fucking Sam that can do the same thing. And it's like, well, why was Captain America special? Just because he had the super soldier serum?
I mean,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. The thing is with John Walker, though, is he never used the shield. He used the shield for defense. He never threw it or did any cool tricks with it. He literally had it on his arm at all times, and he only used it to block some bullets and kill somebody. Sam, we saw him take the time in the show to train with the shield and get skilled with the shield, because he doesn't have a super soldier serum. So quite literally, the only thing special about Sam is his wings and a shield.
Right. I mean, we did see John Walker. We saw some of his, like, training videos, training with the shield. He was able to do what Captain America was able to do with the shield. We saw a training video of him when they were announcing him as the new Captain America and stuff like that. And that's one of the things that they publicized, was the fact that, hey, look, he can do the same things Captain America can with the shield. He can bounce and he can catch it.
Yeah, but when it came time to actually do it, he never did.
No.
There's a big difference between throwing something at a mat versus throwing something at another person. John Walker just never used the shield how it was meant. Well, I mean, he used the shield as a shield, but he never used the Captain America shield as the Captain America shield, which is a big metal frisbee.
Right.
But in terms of Falcon and Winter Soldier, it delivered where it needed to. The hype, I don't think, was all that needed, but, you know, it was pretty good. Now, to kind of switch gears, I think DC has kind of learned their lesson with overhyping a thing and then it under-delivering, because it...
Wonder Woman 84.
That and the first Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
The trailer, you can not tell me that the Suicide Squad trailer that came out, it was phenomenal. I'm talking about 2016 Jared Leto Suicide Squad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
That trailer was freaking phenomenal.
Yeah.
It made that movie look like the best thing since sliced bread. And then it came out, and I would say that movie is a victim of being super disappointing and not delivering. Because people were on cloud nine with that movie. They were like, holy shit. They did not just put Queen over Will Smith shooting some things. And so when the movie came out, it was like, really? But that fell victim to studio interference, as well as Batman versus Superman and Justice League. But DC's problem is studio interference rather than overhyping, while Marvel's problem is overhyping and
not delivering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they deliver where they're supposed to, but they advertise all their movies like the 2016 Suicide Squad was. And then when the movies come out, it's like, you know, just, okay, that wasn't, all right. Like Black Widow, that movie was really overhyped. And then when it came out, people were like, oh, okay. I think Shang-Chi's the same way. It doesn't have as much hype behind it, but I know there's a lot of people that are excited for it, and it's just going to – they're going to come out of the theater like, oh, my God, that was amazing. And then 2 weeks later, they're going to be like, yeah, it was all right.
Yeah. So there's a movie coming out that I don't know if I'm leery about or if I'm excited for. So as we all know, you know, anybody that is a regular listener to either one of the behind the screen shows, anybody that knows me personally, knows that I'm a big horror fan. And so one of the movies that received just the right amount of hype, that delivered, and honestly was better than what it was predicted to be, was Halloween.
That movie was awesome. I love that movie.
The new John Carpenter Halloween.
Yeah, the 2018 one.
Yeah.
That is an example of the studio being like, hey, this is the movie. This is what the movie is about. You can go watch it. And when people watch it, they're like, holy shit, that was pretty spicy of a movie. That was not bad.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I know where you're going with this, with the second one coming out.
Well, there's that one, and then there's another one. So there hasn't been a whole lot of hype about Halloween Kills.
No, but the trailer, oh my God. The trailer looked like John Wick. It looked like John Wick and Michael Myers had a kid. That's exactly what that trailer looked like. And if the movie is what the trailer is, then I'm okay with it. I won't be mad. I wish there was more to it, but if that's what it is, then I'm down.
Yeah. So the next one is the new Candyman movie coming out.
I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
And don't look it up if you don't know it. Do you know who is producing that movie?
Which one?
Candyman.
Candyman? I think it's Jordan Peele.
Okay. I'm going to say, if you don't know it, then don't look it up, and I want you to watch the movie before you figure out it's Jordan Peele. Because I know you like Jordan Peele. I think he's overrated a little bit as a director.
Have you seen Get Out?
I've seen bits and pieces of it, but I've never got to sit down and fully watch the whole thing.
Have you seen Us?
I have seen Us, and I was there when we reviewed it, and I had a very different opinion than everybody else.
Yeah, wow. We'll move on.
I think Candyman does look interesting, though. I don't care for it. I don't care for Candyman, the original one. I think Jordan Peele may have bit off a bit more than he can chew, because I feel like he's going to do the Jordan Peele thing and make it
something
psychological and crazy and weird and whatnot, when in all actuality, it's a, like, paranormal thing of sorts.
He's not directing it, though. Right, but being a producer is way different than being a director.
Yep. I know. I've done both jobs.
Yeah, so there's...
Have you seen anybody sit down with the director of Candyman? Do you know who the director is of Candyman before you may have looked it up or whatever?
I actually do not.
You see my point? Nobody cares about the director, because Jordan Peele is he's producing it. You know, I'm not saying that the director and whatnot, but the director is who he is. I don't know who it is, but
I'm actually looking it up right now.
I have not seen a single advertisement, single interview, single anything with the director of Candyman. I have seen plenty of ads with Jordan Peele sitting down and saying, yeah, this movie is going to be different. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait for it to come out, blah, 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 blah. Normal Jordan Peele stuff. Normal interview things.
Right. Okay. So, The New Candyman. The director is Nina DaCosta. Jordan Peele is actually one of the writers along with the director. The
yeah.
thing is when you put your name on a movie as a producer, basically you're
putting money
out there.
Yeah, you're putting money into it and whatnot.
Yeah. It's like,
but the thing is, he's a writer in it too. I'm not saying his movies were bad. I'm just not saying that they were the bees.
So he tends to kind of shy away from the paranormal a little bit, and kind
yeah.
of so the movie Us was rooted in not paranormal. It was more along the government experiment type, and the movie Get Out was focused on
mental
like,
manipulation and stuff like that.
Way more than that. Like cult, people in a cult. Basically what they would do is they would switch the brain from an old person, put it into a young person.
Right, so more of a psychological thriller and stuff like that.
Yeah, and that's what he focuses on is the psychological thrillers.
Right.
So the reason why I'm hesitant is because I am a fan of the original Candyman. I'm a fan of Tony Todd. Anything that he is in, he's been phenomenal. He will steal the show. He will steal the scene in any movie, TV show, whatever he plays in. He's played in Star Trek Deep Space Nine. He was an old Jake Sisko. He's played Kern, Worf's brother, in the Next Generation and in Deep Space Nine. He was one of the big sideshow announcers in, I can't remember the name of the movie, but it was about a... it's right on the tip of my tongue. I'll figure it out. Like a traveling carnival. It's a horror movie. It's a traveling carnival that takes people, basically kills people. He was the voodoo priest in the Hatchet series. He was the voodoo priest in the voodoo priest and death in the Final Fantasy series. Not Final Fantasy. God, Final Destination series. So anything that he's in, he absolutely steals the spotlight. And he played a phenomenal Candyman. I mean, he was creepy as shit. And I don't know that... This one is...
I think this is going to fall victim to the whole studios overhyping thing. Because Jordan Peele, household name, he makes...
Tony Todd's in it as well. He plays Candyman.
He plays... he makes terrific movies and what have you. And they're going to hype this movie up because, Tony Todd, Jordan Peele, that one guy is in it. I can't remember his name, though. There's a lot of reason for the hype of this movie, but where is it going to deliver? That, we don't know, because, we haven't seen it. But I think, personally, it's just going to be one of those modern horror movies that just doesn't hit the nail on the head quite well,
Yeah. So one of the things that excites me is that it's not a remake. It is a sequel to the original movie. To the original franchise, which is what Halloween did, what John Carpenter did with 2018's Halloween. It was a sequel to the original franchise. And I think that's where it's going to bring in the audience. Not the fact that it's a remake, because we know, we already know that the Freddy remake was crap. Jason remake was crap. The only...
Rob Zombie Halloween was awesome.
Rob Zombie Halloween was good. I'm not going to say it was better than the original, even though I love Rob Zombie. I think John Carpenter...
It's definitely not better than the original. It's just the way I...
It's good in its own merit.
It's not better. It's just different. It's different than John Carpenter.
It's good with its own merit. Yeah. The Carrie remake, I will say, was good because they took it shot for shot. It's literally
shot for shot. Yeah, that one wasn't bad.
From the original Sissy Spacek. Carrie. And then you had Evil Dead, which...
I heard that one was a fluke.
Oh, no. No.
Or no, not Evil Dead. What was it? It had Dead in the title. Oh, my God. We are thinking of so many things that we just can't think of in this show.
We are.
Freaking... I'll text it to you later if I think of it.
Okay.
It wasn't Evil Dead.
But I will say the Evil Dead remake, because it did have Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell. They had their hands in it, because they're the originals from the original Evil Dead back in 82, 83. This was a more... Because the original Evil Dead was kind of a horror/comedy, typical Bruce Campbell film. The remake that came out, 2014, 2015, something like that, was, 2013, 2014.
2013.
Yeah, okay. So I went and saw it in Raleigh when I was still in North Carolina. It was a phenomenal remake, because it still held some of the essence of the original, and they even had throwbacks and callbacks to the original. But it's what the original could have been if they had not tried to make it a comedy. It was gory. It was scary. It was frightening. It kept you on the edge of your seat. It was a phenomenal movie and a phenomenal horror movie. And I'm really hoping, I really, really want Candyman to be the same, because I am excited about it, but I'm a little apprehensive at the same time. I want the same quality as John Carpenter did for his new Halloween, and I don't want just another crappy sequel/reboot to the franchise.
It's hard to make horror movies anymore. Like, I feel like the horror genre is kind of just going downhill a little bit.
Well, the slasher horror genre is. There for a while, they really focused on what I like to call the boo movies. The only way that they scare you is with jump scares. The Conjuring movies, the Insidious movies, they're not really scary. They scare you with, jumps. Whereas, like, if we look at the golden age of horror, it really got under your skin, so to speak. If we look at, like, the slashers and stuff like that, they were creepy because they were set in real life situations. They had a little bit of the paranormal to it, but if you look at like the Freddies and the Jasons and the Michaels, and even especially the Texas Chainsaw series, Texas Chainsaw was something that honestly could have happened. you know.
It did. It was based off a true story, though, wasn't it? I mean, it was exaggerated, but it was loosely based off a true story.
Very, very loosely it was based off of the serial killer Ed Gein. And so was Psycho and a couple other different movies. But, I mean, as an actual, like, true story of a cannibalistic family living in a rundown house in Texas, no. Again, it was loosely based on Ed Gein, who was a serial killer, was a cannibal, and literally decorated his house with human skin. Like, he had human skin lampshades, skulls for cereal bowls and stuff like that. He was a fucking twisted motherfucker. You know, they took elements of him, elements of John Wayne Gacy and stuff like that. But, you know, like you said, the horror genre is slowly dissipating. I saw the Spiral movie. It's not good. It's disappointing. And it's a very disappointing entry into the Saw series, which is saying a lot because the Saw series is known for its gore, not for its storyline.
Popular opinion on Saw is that it's not good, but...
I like the Saw movies just like... I like the Saw movies for the same reason I like the Final Destination series. I like to see the different ways that they can come up with for killing people. And I know that sounds really twisted. It makes me sound really fucked up in the head, but it's imaginative. And it's
out of that theme of movies, I guess, like killing people in weird ways, Saw is the only one I can sit down and watch. It's the only one I like. Because it's... When you take away all the gore and stuff, it's got a decent story. I mean, it's terrible. Kind of, I mean, it's got better story than Final Destination and...
Yeah.
You know, other films.
Yeah, it's got a fucked up moral code to it. Because he doesn't kill people. He just kidnaps them. That's all he does.
Yeah.
Well, that's what he says he does. I mean, it can be considered murder. It's all fucking twisted and shit. But...
I mean, it's technically murder.
It is technically murder.
I didn't pull the trigger. I just loaded the gun and put it in his hand and told him to pull the trigger.
It's accessory to murder. It's not murder. It's manslaughter. It's accessory to murder. Whatever. But you're right, and that's one thing that disappoints, like, huge horror fans like me, like myself, is the fact that we don't have these horror movies that we want. Even Rob Zombie is starting to go away. He's redoing The Munsters, which was a horror TV show, kind of loosely. It was a TV show with monsters in them. You had Frankenstein, you had Dracula, you had Bride of Frankenstein, and, you know, the Wolfman, sort of.
But looking back, I'm sure back in the day that was frightening, but now, is the original scary at all?
Well, the original Munsters wasn't meant to be scary. It's like the Addams Family. They weren't meant to be scary. They were just, it was, they
like the
were...
Tim Burton style sort of thing.
Not even that, because
no,
they were
like
just...
tone and overall,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah,
look and theme of the content was very similar.
Yeah, they were horror. They were TV shows. They were okay. So they were sitcoms that dealt with the same issues as every other sitcom out there, and had the same plot lines, the same storylines, and stuff like that. In their respective decades, they just happened to feature people that were a lot different than the rest of society. You look at the Addams Family; they were the ultimate horror family. And you look at the Munsters; you had Frankenstein as the dad, as Herman. He was a Frankenstein monster. Grandpa was essentially Dracula. And then Eddie was a wolf pup type, you know, he was modeled after the Wolfman.
So do you think horror movies can be scary? Like, is there such thing as a scary movie anymore? Or are they all just scary themed movies?
So when you look at scary, you have to look at it in a different, context. Are we as a society scared by movies like The Exorcist, and movies like that? Probably not anymore. I think as a society with TikTok and YouTube and stuff like that, I think we've become really desensitized to actually being frightened. There are people that can be frightened, obviously, but I think as a society, those things don't frighten us anymore. I think the last good movie that really frightened people was Paranormal Activity, the first one. Then they ruined it with the sequels. But
I think when a studio try to add something to an already simple thing, then it's not scary. Like The Conjuring, when that movie came out, it was, you know, jump scares and what have you. But people were walking around their house scared of every little creak because they didn't know that somebody's going to clap in their ear or whatnot. But then they came out with Conjuring 2, and then the new Conjuring that came out, and then Insidious, and then all these other 400 million different scary movies, and people are just kind of, meh. Yeah, it's scary and whatnot, but you can kind of anticipate when a jump scare is coming. You can kind of anticipate when this is coming. Like, nothing is creepy and eerie anymore.
And that's the biggest problem with horror movies, is that when they come out, if they have a really good formula, the very first movie, we look at movies like Paranormal Activity, Poltergeist, the original, not the crappy remake, even Blair Witch Project, as crappy as it was an innovation in the horror genre. And the first Saw movie, when we look at those formulas and we look at how those movies impacted people, and then we go and repeat that formula over and over again, it just desensitizes people. The first Saw movie was fucking fantastic. The twist at the end, phenomenal. When it first came out, it was one of the best new horror genre movies out there. It was a mindfuck of a movie.
Two was good too, though, as well.
Two was good, yes. And then you come out with 3, 4, 5, and on. It becomes redundant.
You can do that with some things, just not all. Like the superhero movies, you can have 23 of them, like we see with the MCU. That works because that's story building. But when you have 400 different horror movies, how can you make it interesting and not the same thing as the first or second one? Like Halloween 1 and 2, boom. Amazing movies. And then you come out, I'm going to skip 3 because that one's just stupid. 4 came out, and it was like, are you kidding me? Like, why? And then 5 came out, and you're like, okay, let's stop. They're scary, quote-unquote. And then 6, and then H2O, and all these other ones, and it's just like, oh my God. Although I did like H2O, but that's a different story.
I would venture to say the only horror series that was successful in making their sequels, and we're going to skip the second one because that one doesn't count, and there's a lot of people that are going to disagree with me on this, I think it's the Nightmare on Elm Street series. Number two doesn't count because it was way out there, and we're not going to talk about.
I think
the
I don't
remake.
Personally, for me, this is just completely anecdotal. I have not seen all of them. I've seen the first one. It was scary, but ish. You know, as a little kid, it was like, oh my God, I can't go to sleep. But then it honestly becomes like the Evil Dead series where it's kind of just comedy and horror. It's a comedy horror. You're not supposed to meant to take it seriously. But
right.
Nothing about Nightmare on Elm Street, in my opinion, but it's more comedy. You know, it's how funny can I make this kill, or how funny can I make this interaction with Freddy and so-and-so.
And I think that's why it works, because the series doesn't take itself seriously. Freddy doesn't take himself seriously. Robert Englund enjoyed playing Freddy, except for the makeup. But he loved playing Freddy. Wes Craven loved creating the character.
So are you saying there can't be a serious horror movie that can stretch? Because if
no.
we take Nightmare on Elm Street, is it a legitimate horror movie? Or is it a comedy spoof?
No,
like,
no.
Is it just
legitimate.
A funny ha-ha? Like, the first one was, you know, okay, this was a child molester, and he got lit on fire, and now he kills people in their dreams. And then the rest of them were like, how funny can we make these kills, and how can we kind of make it creepy for people to watch?
Well, I think it is. I'm going to defend it in the horror genre because it belongs in the slasher genre. Because it's scary because it's not a physical being that's doing the killing. He's killing people in their sleep, number one, which is where your sleep is where you're most vulnerable. So that's where. That's where the scare factor comes into it. Number
right,
one.
That's
number
when I
two.
Say the first movie belongs 100% in the horror genre. But the rest of them were, you know the Scary Movie series? Like those movies?
Yeah.
That's kind of how I see the rest of the series.
Right, and I'm being a little biased because I enjoy Freddy. He's one of my favorite
He's definitely
horror
cool.
characters.
Like, he's an icon. I'm not taking that away from him. I'm just saying, you know,
right,
his movies, they're horror. They're just not scary.
Right. And that's, you know, that the scariest factor of these movies is the fact that he kills you in his sleep. Other than that, it's gore. It's slasher. It's, you know, preying on teenagers. And
your typical screen queen killer, you know,
exactly, exactly. And I think that's, and I think Nightmare on Elm Street, other than the second one, I think the whole formula for the series works, and that's what makes it such a good series and such an iconic series. The only thing iconic about Jason is the fact that he literally walked around and hacked people to death.
Right.
I don't think Jason measures up to the standards of Freddy.
So to sort of go back to my original point-ish, you don't think that there can be a legitimate horror series that can span five or more movies.
And continuously be scary as the first?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, do you think... Okay.
No. And
Even Nightmare on Elm Street doesn't do that.
Right.
The first
and,
one, terrifying. Rest of them, eh.
That's actually a great topic for next week's show.
Yeah.
I
mean, I don't...
You know,
I haven't seen too many horror movies, but...
Well,
I can think of some.
Not just horror movies, but movies that have, hell, we can talk about
longevity. Longevity of movie series.
Yeah, we can, because we kind of got a little off topic this week, but I
yeah,
really like where we
ended.
A bit.
it was a bit hard to talk on without repeating things we've already said. But that's okay. We got a fresh topic for next week. It should be a good show.
Yeah. A continuation of the topic that we ended on for this week. This is something that I think you and I can talk at length about, is sequels. Do they hold up? And even kind of continue the discussion that we're having tonight. And I'll explain a little more. I'll explain my answer a little more next week. So, all right. We only have a few minutes left. I want to thank Alex, obviously. This was a fantastic show, as always. I had a blast tonight. I love when our text conversations kind of, bleed into the show, because it makes for a fantastic show, because you and I have some really interesting text conversations.
It comes at the most random times, too. You're like, hey, blah, 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 and then it'll turn into a 4-hour text conversation. And we're like, hey, what if we just talk about this on the show?
That's usually how we get our topics for the show, is we'll have some random conversation throughout the week, and we'll flesh out the entire conversation.
It'll literally start with me sending him a picture of, like, an action figure, or me sending him a link to, like, a cool thing, or he'll send me something, and we'll just, just chit-chat, and then it'll turn into a serious conversation of, who had the silliest costume back in the 50s? Was it Hawkeye, or was it Green Arrow? And then it turns into a conversation on the show of who had the better costumes back in the 50s, DC or Marvel.
And the thing is we will have a whole 3 or 4 day discussion about this. It'll go on for days. And then we bring it onto the show, and we'll bring some of that conversation in, but then it continues the show. So it can be a week-long conversation with us between text messages and the show.
Or it can be a 30-second thing. Like, I can send him something, and he'll be like, yeah. And I'll be like, well, yeah, that's awesome. And then it'll turn into, should we save this for the show? And then like, well, yeah, that's a fantastic topic.
There's that, too. Which is kind of what happened this week. But anyway.
Kind of what happens every week.
that's what happens every week. That's how we get the topics for our shows. We have a small discussion through text. We have a lengthy 2-hour discussion on air.
Yeah.
All right. It is, down to the last couple minutes of our show. Again, I want to thank Alex. Fantastic show, fantastic talk. I can't wait for next week's episode, because it's going to be probably even more in-depth. We'll probably have to start as soon as we go on air. Next week's show is going to be amazing, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank all of our listeners, all of our supporters, all of our followers. I do want to thank our tech guy, stage manager, multimedia manager, Austin, for, streaming the live stream for us. And updating our website and getting all the computer stuff going.
Nerd.
That's what he does. I do want to say support your veterans, fire, police, and EMS. They're out there every day putting their lives on the line for you. I know these are tough times, ladies and gentlemen, and it's hard to support those people, but they're literally just doing their jobs. We will get through this bullshit. I promise you, we will get through it. I'd like to say we will come out stronger on the other side. And then that's what I'm going with. We'll come out stronger on the other side.
It will bump out. Trust me.
It will. It'll buff out like the razor's edge of an aluminum sword.
Apparently.
As always, be safe, be smart. We want you back here every night that we broadcast on Wicked Curiosity Media. There will not be a movie of the week on Sunday. Austin will not be in the studio. He will not even be in or around the studio. So we are not having a movie of the week next week. But the guy in glasses will have his return show. Yes. His comeback episode this Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Right here on Block Talks Radio, right here on Wiki Curiosity Media. He is coming back. He has a new co-host, and we are excited for that.
It's like Michael Jordan coming out of retirement without Scottie Pippen.
Right?
But now you got a new Scottie Pippen.
Yeah. Anyway, every night that we broadcast, every Sunday night for Movie of the Week, every Tuesday for Falling from Grace podcast, every Wednesday night for the Cinephiles What, every Friday night for Note by Note. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you have a fantastic rest of your Wednesday night. Have a fantastic rest of your week. For WCM, we'll see you back here on Friday night. For Behind the Screen, we'll see you back here next week for the Cinephiles. Y'all have a fantastic evening. And we'll see you later.
See you later.
Down, it's just you and me. You cut me off and say you're tired of talking. Not as if we can't agree, but you've lost your will to fight. You're packing up all your things to leave, and these will be our last words. Then the chance will be lost, and I ain't too proud. If you loved me, you would hold.
Seven years.